They work, don't they? Sure. Look, I'm interested. I can hardly deny that. God's brother living forever, who wouldn't want it? Tell you what, I won't make any move to get back to Earth until after these clones of yours have popped out of the exo-wombs. If they check out as good as you say, I'll be with you like a shot. If not, we'll review where we stand. Fuck, I don't mind waiting around a few years if that's what it takes to perfect it. Commendable prudence, Latton purred. Meantime, it'd be a good idea to bugger up Supervisor Banani's communicator block, for both our sakes. However it turns out, neither of us wants the villagers shouting to the capital for help. Can you let me have a fleck loaded with some kind of processor buster virus? If I just smash it, he's gonna know it's me. Our name walked in carrying a tray with Quinn's steak and a half-liter glass of milk. She put it down on Quinn's lap and glanced hesitantly at Latton. "No, my dear," Latton told her, "this is definitely not St. George come to spirit you away from my fire-breathing self." She sniffed hard, cheeks reddening. Quinn grinned wolfishly at her round a mouthful of steak. "I think I can live with that arrangement," Latton said. "I'll have one of my people prepare a fleck for you before you go." Quinn slurped some of his milk and wiped his mouth with the back of his hand. "Great." There was something wrong with Aberdale's church. Only half of the pews had ever been built and installed, though Horst Elwes occasionally worked on the planks of planed wood the Ibets had cut ready for the remainder. He doubted the three pews he had already assembled in the occasional bouts of shame-induced activity would take the weight of more than four people. But the roof didn't leak. There was the familiarity of hymn-books and vestments, the paraphernalia of worship, and he had a vast collection of devotional music on flex, which the audio player block projected across the building. For all its deviant inception, it still symbolized a form of hope. Of late, it had become his refuge. Hallowed ground or not, and Horst wasn't stupid enough to think that was any form of protection, the Ivets never came inside. But something had. Horst stood in front of the bench which served as an altar, hair on his arms, pricked up as though he was standing in some kind of massive static stream. There was a presence in the church, ethereal yet with an almost brutal strength. He could feel it watching him. He could feel age almost beyond comprehension. The first time Horst had seen a Gigantea, he had spent over an hour just looking up at it in stupefaction, a living thing that had been old when Christ walked the earth. But the Gigantea was nothing compared to this. The tree was a mere infant. Age, real age, was a fearful thing. Horst didn't believe in ghosts. Besides, the presence was too real for that. It enervated the church, absorbing what scant ration of divinity had once existed. "What are you?" he whispered to the gentle breeze. Night was falling outside, waving treetops cast a jagged sable-black silhouette against the gold-pink sky. The men were returning from the field, sweaty and tired but smiling. Voices carried through the clearing. Aberdale was so peaceful, it looked like everything he had wanted when he left Earth. "What are you?" Horst demanded. "This is a church, a house of God. I will have no sacrilege committed here. Only those who truly repent are welcome." For a giddy moment, his thoughts were rushing headlong through empty space. The velocity was terrifying. He yelled in shock. There was nothing around him. No body, no stars. This was what he imagined the null dimension that existed outside a starship would look like when it jumped. Abruptly, he was back in the church. A small ruby star burnt in the air a couple of meters in front of him. He stared at it in shock, then giggled. "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are." The star vanished. His laughter turned to a strangled pule. He fled out into the dusky clearing, stumbling through the soft loam of his vegetable garden, heedless of the shabby plants he trampled. It was his singing which drew the villagers a few hours later. He was sitting on the jetty with a bottle of home-brewn vodka. The group that had gathered looked down at him with contempt.